Here it is, another episode of the Infinite Banter Podcast. Welcome in. My name is Mark Jolliffe, a.k.a. DJ Soundwave. Thanks for checking out the show. Really appreciate it. Big show today. Got my man Catch-22. Talk about his new album, Between a Rock and a Hard Place, and a lot more to talk about. But before we do that, in the words of KRS-One, here's some words from our sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by the NBA Store. A new year brings the start of a new NBA season. Suit up with the latest gear to show your support for your team. Mine being the Bulls. I need some new gear. We may be sidelined from going to the arena, but that doesn't mean you can't watch basketball from your couch in style. We are teaming up with the NBA and Podgo to bring our listeners up to 75% off on selected items. Yes, you heard that right. Go to podgo.co/NBA for up to 75% off selected items from the NBA store. The NBA, where amazing happens. Yeah, the Bulls are doing pretty good. I need to stop sleeping on them. They're actually kind of entertaining, so definitely need to pay attention and cop some Bulls gear from the NBA store, and you guys as well. Whatever team you root for, definitely check them out. All right, I'm in a better mood. We're a couple days removed from the orange clown being extracted out of my life and out of our life, hopefully, and new presidency. Salute to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. All right, let's get moving. The Infinite Banter Podcast. Got a big show. My man Catch-22, I've known this dude a long time from his days back here in Chicago. He's an icon here in the hip-hop game for sure, and he's doing his thing in Kansas City right now. Got to talk about all of that, and of course, his new album that just dropped, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. We'll play a couple songs from there, talk to him about the album and everything else. Dude has a long history in Chicago hip-hop, so there's a lot to talk to him about. I'm excited to do that, so definitely stay tuned. Big shout out to my man Lennox Hughes, who's on the last episode. Definitely go check that out. He talked about his new album Opulent Habits, played a couple songs. If you did not hear that episode, I definitely recommend you go back and check it out and check out his album, and it is straight fire. Be on the lookout for Lennox Hughes. He is definitely doing big things. And also at the end of last week's episode, I did play that song Boat Shoes from Nation Gang featuring Scorsese, you know, the recently passed MC who was a guest on the show a couple times. And definitely it's been a week. It's still kind of, throwing me off a bit. Salute to him. Rest in peace. And if you haven't heard that song, go back and check out that episode. It's the last song. Played a whole episode, but definitely if you want to hear that song with him, go check that out. I believe there's a video for it as well. All right, without further ado, let's kick off the show, the Infinite Banter Podcast. Make sure you follow the show on all digital platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, usual places. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Infinite Banter. Go on Apple Podcasts, rate and review the show, and salute to everybody that's been reposting, listening, liking the show, giving feedback. I definitely appreciate it. Big up to all of you guys. All right, let's get into it. Let's talk to my man Catch-22, play a couple songs from his new album, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. But before we do that, you know, the show never begins until the legend, the king from Queens, Daryl McDaniel, says this.
Yo, yo, what's up? This is me, DMC, the K-I-N-G, the greatest MC in history. And right now, you're listening to Infinite Banter, because we will banter on forever, because this is the only place for all of y'all to ever be. I be Infinite Banter.
Before we talk to my man Catch-22 and go back down memory lane like we're on Illmatic, let's play a new song off his album, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. This right here is Caddish Flow, A Moment in Time, and that's perfect for what we're about to do, because I'm about to take a moment in time with Catch-22, talk about the old days in Chicago hip-hop, the current days of Kansas City hip-hop, and everything in between. Man, it's going to be fun. I've known this dude a long time. We're talking like 20 years. Long overdue having my man on the show here, but let's go ahead and get into it. This one off the new album, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. This is Caddish Flow, A Moment in Time. And on the other end of this, we're going to step back into a time machine. My man Catch-22, talk about his new album, Between a Rock and a Hard Place, and all the stuff he's done leading up to this point. Here it is, Catch-22 and Caddish Flow, A Moment in Time, on the Infinite Banter Podcast.
Punch in the jaw to anyone who was trying to come up any before. There's that dream crusher here to drop a couple tons in the stall that didn't flush it at all, but we don't want aerosols. Every day limitates too much out of y'all, like when Go-Go Gadget runs in the claw. But I feel more like Killmonger, motivated, look how I wield hunger. I approach and they see nothing after they hear thunder. Cut to black like Tony Soprano, while those who see wonder, is he alive? Status a question, I'm both David Chase and actors, he's guessing. Keep the audience guessing, stall feels apocalyptic, but not my gift, as I'm still growing, establishing blessings. Give my family too much hope to remain stuck with circumstances. Check me past grad school exams, while the lights in my pad were resting. And I didn't have the bread to wake him up, Bottle water from the shower, then the class to ace him up. Car was barely running, no allergy meds and chest pains. No AC in the car, hit networking events with sweat stains. Still catching job offers, though I look a mess, man. Hit the booths like lighting matches in rooms full of methane. Every obstacle I ever overcame's a chess game that I won handily. So I hope that you understand me when I tell you that I will not let my success wane behind a simple moment in time. Shows getting canned, now we helpless, gotta pivot. Yeah, it's crazy, but I can't stop progressing. Watch me floor and foot plants on the pedal till I'm in demand, like the iPhone minus the planned obsolescence. Homies move, you wonder if the brothers get far. Not much generational wealth, but that's the color of law. System wasn't designed for us, but we dominated anyway. Muggsy hitting double digits with the fadeaway. Bumpy Johnson with the packages. The U.S. racism pitted the immigrants against the blackest skin. Take my destiny and master this. Take the downtime to unwind and plan the next moves for after this subsides. Though honestly, I'm asking when these stupid cultists don't even believe in masks again. Talk individual freedoms when individuals bleeding. Liberties you can keep, but my freedoms would never even. No back to normal, cause the normal was awful. We'd rather shake new reality so we be more thoughtful of each other and how we're distinct. Trying to stay encouraged cause it feels like we're on the brink of a moment in time. Try to stay encouraged because it feels like we're on the brink of a moment in time.
Good, man. It's your boy Lennox Hughes here with DJ Soundwave on Infinite Banter, man. Checking in.
You're tuned into the Infinite Banter podcast. I am Mark Jolliffe, a.k.a. DJ Soundwave, and right now I'm joined by Chicago hip-hop icon. I've known this dude for a long time, and he's repping his expertise right now in Kansas City, founder and president at One Kansas City Radio. You've heard him on Head Knock Records, working with Chicago artists, Kansas City artists, probably artists from other places I don't even know about, but he'll tell me about it. You know, CRX, Chicago, Columbia College, you know, with DJ Real One, the Catch Rec Show. We'll talk about that as well. Just so much to get into. His new album, Between a Rock and a Hard Place, it's January 22nd. Why not Catch 22 on the 22 of January? New album, Between a Rock and a Hard Place, is out right now. Welcome to the Infinite Banter podcast, the one and only Catch 22. What's up, man?
Yeah. That's big up MJ.
Yeah, man.
That's a long one.
Yeah, there's a lot in here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I was trying to think, like, I've known Real One since, like, 99. I think you maybe, like, a year or two after that. I'm trying to think the first time I probably saw you at a club or something, spinning at some venue somewhere, playing a Tribe record.
You already know me. You know how I do it, Tribe. But, I mean, I think we formed, like, Voltron probably about 99. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I came over from Northeastern Illinois University and transferred over to Columbia College. And pretty much shortly after, I met Rio. And then I think I met you. Yeah, so it's been a minute. We old now. We old.
Oh, dude. 40-ounce crew in the building. Going back to, like, like you said, like 99. When did you first get on to Columbia College WCRX? Is that about the time you first did a show there?
Yeah, because, you know, they make us do our shows, and that's the first time I did a show there. But my actual, well, there's two first shows. I had a show on, I'm not even going to remember the call letters now, but it's on Northeastern Illinois University Station. I had my full full-time show, and, you know, you start out at midnight or some kind of crazy time in the middle of night thinking that nobody's listening. But, like, there are people actually listening. It's crazy. So that was a show I had before CRX. But if we want to go way back.
Oh, this is even before
time,
that.
We'll just go ahead and tell the story. Myself and DJ Turnaround was one of the first DJs on a graveyard shift at WNUR.
Oh, wow.
Shortly replaced by, I think he's still currently doing it, is a DJ Third Rail. So,
oh, wow.
So pre-Third Rail, 1997 or 8 maybe, is the first radio show that we were, I was a part of, you know, just doing underground hip hop cat stuff, you know, trying to get on a scene, trying to do stuff, trying to take our turn and do some cool things. So 90, I guess, 7 or 8, really the first show. And then at CRX, 99, maybe a little bit before 99 too.
So there's the trivia question. Who was on before Third Rail? There it is. It's Catch 22.
I feel like that's going to come back and get me later.
No doubt. Man, that's some history right there.
Yeah, man, loved it. Four Elements, great trivia question.
Yeah, man. So for those who are wondering who was before Third Rail, you're talking to him right here, Catch 22. And when was the first time like you really got into like DJing? Was it a DJ show mostly on WNUR?
On NUR or just in Yeah, I mean, it was Vaughn, I think, started it as a just playing music and stuff, underground stuff. And I don't even know if he had a DJ before or not, but we asked him if we could spin live, and he said, yeah. Turnaround and I came up there, brought the tables up, you know, midnight on a Sunday.
Nice.
And set up shop and did that. So I guess it became a DJ show. I don't know if that was because of us or if, you know, just kind of happened that way.
Man, when did you first start getting into hip-hop music and doing any kind of DJing whatsoever?
Oh man, I had a lot of influences. My dad, he played the trumpet, and he had a lot of old jazz records and
there you go.
Soul records, and at the time, so I pretty much inherited his record collection, which is incredible because, you know, that's a lot of work and money and time that most right. people have to do to get that foundation. So, you know, around the same time, my sister actually got married, and my brother-in-law at the time was like an old school hip hop head. He's like, I think he's like almost 10 years older than me. So he like just pretty much just dropping knowledge. I mean, he was telling me about Ultramagnetic MCs.
Oh, wow.
And like all the 80s cats. And, you know, I'm like 14, 15 at the time. So I'm just like eating it up. So he was a huge influence, obviously, from the hip hop level. And then my dad from the jazz level. I played an instrument, and you know, Tribe, like you said, is huge influence on me.
Yeah, that makes sense with the jazz aspect, right?
Right, right. So, you know, Roy Ayers, all those classics that they sampled, you know, Minnie Riperton, you know, all that stuff is like all came together for me, and I just loved it. And so this is the origin story of me DJing. My dad had the old school turntable on top of the stereo, like, you know, he had the FM tuner below it, and I was like scratching on it, and my dad was like, because I'm a junior, he goes, Junior, what are you doing? You're scratching on my records. I was like, no, it's you're supposed to do that. And he's like, I'm gonna get you your own turntable.
Oh man.
So big up to my dad from jump, you know, got the little belt drive Gemini turntable, Midwest Stereo. Shout out to Midwest Stereo. Shout out to Score, by the way.
Yeah.
That was pre-Score, but you know, that's where we went. We went to Midwest Stereo to get the equipment, right. Donna Clark. I think it's RIP right now, but
yeah.
That's where we went.
Man.
And worked at Juul for a whole summer to buy a 4-channel Gemini mixer.
Oh,
so
man.
I had the Gemini mixer, a Gemini belt driven turntable, and then like a random like I don't even know what it was. So that was my DJ setup.
Jeez.
When I was 15.
That's like some Frankenstein type stuff right there, man. but it worked.
Yeah,
but
totally, it worked. Totally. It worked. I was doing it. And you know, in high school, started making mixtapes, thought I was all that, you know, my friends buying them, ooh, all that stuff, dubbing tapes, and you know, just continue to DJ. Was also MCing at the time. I actually was spending more time MCing, and you'll hear that on this album. Real One, he gives me a hard time for it, but he's like, dude, I can't believe you put that on an album. But there is a recording of 15-year-old Catch 22
really
rhyming over some break beats that we, you know, me and my brother-in-law, we did these little tapes. They were, you know, they were dope at the time, and you know, we was doing our little hip-hop thing. So I found some of those up the archive and put a little snippet on the album. So you gotta, it's hidden though. So
okay.
You gotta actually listen to the whole album to see where it is. It's in between songs.
I hear you a lot on here, but I don't know if I caught it. Maybe I just wasn't, because I'm listening on my phone. Maybe I didn't quite catch it.
Yeah. So that's a little hidden gem.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so doing MCing, breakdancing, did graffiti too for a minute. So really, like, the DJing thing was like the third on the list, really, for the four elements. But
got you.
Again, I was playing alto saxophone in high school, was just all immersed in hip hop. You know, I'm kind of proud of that. Like, there's not many people who can do all four elements. Obviously, I'm not saying I'm dope on all levels, but I did rooftops and trains and, you know, bombed and, you know, could break dance, part of, you know, BWS, JMC, Shy Rock Nation crew, you know, big up to that in '90s, you know, in the '90s era. And kind of landed on this DJ / making beats thing at the end, you know. So
you found your lane.
A long journey. Like, yeah, I found my lane. And, you know, you can't really break dance when you're past 40. I tried it the other day.
Hell no.
Yeah, there might be like maybe a year or two left that I could actually pull off a windmill. And it's
that'd be awesome if you could still do that. Salute. That's not easy, man. Even when you're 20.
Yeah. So my 17-year-old, he's the one who he's like, yeah, you say you could break dance. Let me see it. And I was like, oh man's gonna have to get his sneaks out, get his shell toes out.
Man.
So I was able to do it for him one time, and I was like, yeah, that's a wrap after that.
feel the muscles a little bit, not feeling quite as strong after. needed a
I know
rest.
When to stop.
Yeah, needed some Ben Gay.
I was like, that's it after this. And then, so, you know, whatever. Like I said, that's the origin story, and that's, you know, 20 plus years in the making. Just always loved and a fan of hip hop, as you know.
Yeah.
I think we all of us as a group pretty much nerded out, you know, to this day on stuff. And so, yeah, here we are. I mean, putting out records and still doing it for the love. I mean, we're not killing it. We're not doing it for a bunch of money. We're just doing it for the love and to continue our craft and to put dope stuff out there for the people.
You know, obviously talk about the transition to doing some producer work and DJing. And I was going through some records, man. And since we're on the visual, I guess I get to show it. I was digging through this.
Hey, have that. Yeah.
On the back, so, right here, Fade It, Scratches by Catch 22. And I played it before you came on.
Yeah.
Man, talk about working with Brother L in Chicago. Yeah, Chicago hip hop scene.
You know, big up Brother L. I mean, again, I have always been open to mentors. He was a huge mentor for me. That record and his album, I will always say, ahead of its time. If that dropped like 10 years later, I mean, it would just be like a classic on so many levels. And you know, sometimes it's not good to be ahead of your time, but
no.
You know, remember like sitting in with him, not for all of it, but you know, he had me do the scratches, you know, had me do some little things here and there, and then I was his DJ for the live show. You know, big up Brother L. I mean, he's one of those cats that like has so much material, but for whatever reason he just has it. So
right. It'd
be like Picasso. Whenever it comes out, people be like, wow, like he's got a whole treasure trove of music that's dope that he just has. I mean, but he's doing his thing too. He's doing he went more kind of toward like electronic, that vibe, and that's cool. You know, he does a lot of public shows with the live PA stuff, and you know, that's dope. You know, again, we're getting old, but we're out here still just doing stuff that we love, trying to make quality stuff for audiences large and small. So, you know, big up again, Brother L.
Yeah, I think that might have been one of the first times I saw you doing any kind of DJing thing was with him. Yeah, I probably went to a show or something where he was opening for maybe Erratic Static or name insert Chicago group, Moment, something. And that's probably where I first saw you doing your thing. And my first time I saw a real one was he opened for Digital Underground when he was with Erratic Static. And I was like, who's this dude cutting up?
And
when I see you guys around Columbia College, I'm like, all right, these dudes, I need to bother these dudes and hang around them because they're doing the cool stuff. And I need to hang around these dudes, man.
No doubt. Brother L also produced most of that Erratic Static stuff, at least the first, the very very beginning, the Locks It Down suite, you know, he it was his production on that stuff,
man.
So, you know, definitely pioneered that. Not a whole lot of people talk about, but you know, he was doing a lot of things again before a lot of others, you know, during that Moment, you know, All Natural kind of time where there wasn't a whole lot coming out, but you know, there was a solid you know, small group of people that's putting out quality stuff.
Do you remember the first time you spun at a club or anything like that? Doing a live set somewhere? Do you remember?
Yes. Yeah. So you know this because, you know, you're from Chicago, especially in the 90s. I mean, it was about house music. Like, you were, I mean, that's who was getting the large crowds.
No, that's how it is in Chicago. We know how it is. Yep.
I grew up on North Avenue in Pulaski, you know, cruising Fullerton, you know, all that. That was all like house music stuff. And my sister, who's 6 years older than me, she was like one of definitely the original house heads too. So she also greatly influenced me, you know, B96, all that stuff, you know. So there's a huge house music influence on me, being from Chicago. But here's the story. So I think I was still in high school, actually. I think I was like 17. And back then, you really couldn't get on as a hip hop DJ. Like, they weren't really trying to hear you. Yeah. And there was this party, and I think the party was like Belmont and Pulaski, somewhere over there, like by where the old AC Club was. It wasn't the AC Club, but it was somewhere over there. And, you know, I don't even know how I hooked up with it, but they're like, yeah, we got this party and, you know, you could get down and DJ. And I'm, you know, I'm trying to DJ or whatever. And I'm like, I got this hip hop stuff. And they're like, oh, you could still DJ. So we walk in, the place is packed, and it's all house music. And like, all the house music DJs are like literally DJing for like maybe 15 minutes because there's like 100 DJs.
Right.
So it's like, you walk in with your Crate of Hip Hop records and you're like, I got maybe 10, 15 minutes to do something here. So, you know, Wu-Tang, that's when Wu-Tang first came out. It was 93, 94.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but people are going to like it because it was, you know, quote unquote popular. So right. I just went to what was popular at the time. You know, I probably did play a Tribe record.
I was going to say 93. That'd be also Low End Theory, right? Or Midnight Marauders. They both came around the same time. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I think Low End Theory did come out in 93, I think. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like I rocked it, especially when it was a whole, like, room full of people dancing to house music.
Right, right.
So that was the first time I ever played, like, publicly in a club. And it actually taught me a lesson, which is, like, be ready to, like, rock to whatever crowd's there. And, you know, Real has some real, he got some dirt on me about a couple
uh-oh,
things.
Uh-oh.
Like I tried to do, I wasn't real proud of some selections I played and didn't really own up to them. And so anyway, yeah, I commit my shortcomings as well. So, you know, it's all good. But yeah, I love DJing, still love moving the crowd, still making people dance. Even, you know, Real could talk about this too. Even at times when we had zero crowd, I mean, if there's 10 people there and I can get 7 of them dancing or nodding their head or feeling it or being into it, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do as DJs.
Man. So you start throwing a little money and women in there, then that changes up the set a bit too.
Right.
Or if you get the free drinks coming,
right,
it's easier to get you.
Right, I was going to say, you know. I told the story about Lava Lounge not too long ago.
Oh, man, there it is.
To my wife, and I was like, yeah, that's, you know, there is such a thing as having, like, free alcohol is not always good, you know?
Is this the first Lava Lounge or the second one? Because there were two versions of it from I remember, right?
The first one.
The first.
More
the grimy,
first one,
that
the
first
OG
one.
Lava Lounge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You did, when the lights came on, you, like, didn't really want to look around too hard in any corners. There's holes in the wall and a layer of dirt. And, yeah, it was interesting.
I have some memories of Lava Lounge. I know there was one time I was in a stall, and I remember you were knocking on the door like, dude, you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not. Because I'm drinking at Lava Lounge.
Right, and I probably got, like, everybody at least 2 or 3 free drinks from jump, you know?
Right, exactly. So it's like, I had like $8, but somehow I still got drunk. Like, how did that happen?
The benefit from being a DJ at the spot, I guess.
No, they had that cool thing too, where you're kind of raised up from the state. You know, there's the main floor, and you guys had like that kind of area where the booth was up a little bit higher, so you could kind of look down and see what's going on. So salute to Lava Lounge.
The other cool thing too was they had that window behind the DJ booth too, so you could kind of like see what's coming in.
Right.
So that was always interesting.
So if you saw like a gang of girls coming, you're just like switching up the set, like, oh, all right, let me get that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all right, we better.
Where's that reggaeton record?
Take this MOP off.
Right. I can't play Mr. Lift anymore. I need something hot.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Oh, man.
Big up to Sean Dervis, by the way. Big up Sean Dervis. Speaking of Lava Lounge.
There you go. Man, yeah, I used to love that place, man. That was one of my favorite spots. Is there a spot that you did that you were like, man, I'll never come here ever again? And most of these places are gone, so you're probably not going to offend anybody. Because I don't know how many spots are even around anymore. But what was your favorite place to spin at? And what's like the one you were like, man, this is just too grimy for me. I can't even do this again. Or maybe it wasn't because it was grimy. Maybe you just didn't have a good time there.
Yeah, I think my least favorite, and I only did it once, was actually spun at Dennis Rodman's club one time when
was
that was
a
thing.
Zentra? Or no, not Zentra. What was the name of his club?
No, this was like downtown.
Oh, okay.
I think it was called Dennis Rodman or something like that. I don't know. Something
it's probably gone now.
Like
so.
That was definitely like, oh, yeah. I mean, that was like the downtown thing. And
right.
You know,
status.
We were a little bit too grimy about for that. my favorite two places. I know you said one, but my favorite two places, mainly because I think it was like a goal for me for whatever reason, was Betty's Blue Star Lounge.
Oh, I love that
place.
Because
they had such a good crowd there. And to be honest with you, like the stuff we did with NED, with Score and Shabazz and those parties, those are my favorite. And, you know, I had to give Score credit. You know, he was kind of, at least in our group, the first one to, like, really hit the reggaeton even back then in the early 2000s.
Right.
And we just had fun. It was fun. It was crowded. There's people there. People were dancing. We did our hip-hop thing, too.
You had to come early for the hip-hop thing, I learned. You had to come early stay late.
But I always like doing stuff with people. Like, I never was one of those DJs, or at least I don't remember, like, where I'm like, yo, this is my spot, and you can't. No, I'm like, I had the most fun doing stuff with Real and Score, all of us doing things together. I always felt like the flavor was better. We could, like, have a friendly competition on, you know, who can get, you know, people dancing, or who could cut it up, or, you know, like, I always prefer that. I always prefer to collaborate with people than to, like, just hold the spot down by myself. I mean, even, like, the Encore stuff that we did, you know, I don't know if you ever came out to that, the Encore spot downtown.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I love doing that with Score and Real, because, you know, I just enjoy creativity and collaboration. And really, that brings us to this album, right? Same thing. Like,
there you go.
I can rap. I'm not an MC. So
there you go.
I want to make good music with people who are better than me, who bring a different dynamic to me. Really, I think everything we've done at Head Knock Records is kind of like it goes along that theme. You know, we want to collaborate with people who are talented, who are hungry, who are going to show up and want to make good music. So, you know, big up to like really the whole team. And it's really like a loose affiliation, right? I mean, myself and Real One really are the ones steering the ship. And then Mr. 78, Brother West in Kansas City on the production side. And, you know, Dre Cobbs,
Channel 7,
like my team. Right, my team in Kansas City, you know, Soul Server, Smooth Confusion, Deuce Fontaine, Lewis Rip. So that's what we want to do, you know. Real's down in Houston now, so we're going to get the Houston branch.
Man, it's like you guys are getting spread out, and the sound is changing a little bit, but you've got that Chicago element no matter what.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, like I said, that's what we like to do, and we want to continue to do and put music out in this new age of digital music world.
I have to ask, like, what's the scene like in Kansas City? Because, you know, someone like myself, I've never been to Kansas City. I don't know a whole lot about the scene there. What's it like there compared to Chicago or compared to anywhere you've been? I guess Tech N9ne is the big name from Kansas City, right?
No, definitely Tech N9ne, but he's like on another level. That's like how Kanye West is.
Oh, I got you.
Versus like everything else that's going on. You know what I mean?
So people in Chicago, like, we don't really rep Kanye.
Going on, but right. Oh, okay. See, that's news to me. So, you know.
Well, we do a little. I mean, not so much these days, I guess, but I don't know.
No, I hear you. I understand. But no, I mean, Tech N9ne's big, and he has reached out to some artists, and he's got a crew. I mean, he's got a crew for sure. But he's operating on such a higher level than everybody else. It's not, there's like really no comparison.
Right.
I mean, there's nobody else doing it like Strange Music is doing it in Kansas City. So, and big up to him, you know. That, I mean, he's been doing it forever, you know, so he should have that success. But to answer your question, when I first got to Kansas City 18 years ago and I started looking for the underground hip-hop scene here, I was like actually pleasantly surprised. It wasn't real big, mm-hmm. but what it reminded me of, so this is like, I guess, what, 2000, 2003, 2004-ish. What it reminded me of was the Chicago underground hip-hop scene in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
So it was really creative. There was a lot of people making beats. There's a lot of, like, community around it. So, like, that to me was dope. And I said that to a couple people. I'm like, man, there was an event called Hip Hop at Hot Wings because you could go to this bar and, like, the hot wings were on special.
Oh, man.
But, like, it was Hip Hop and Hot Wings.
Man.
And, you know, they did what we used to do in the 90s, which is, like, they used to have small performances, and they would have different DJs as guests. Like, I even brought Pugs down one time, and we did small show there, and then recorded some music with some local people here. So, like, that's, like, how I remember the Chicago scene in the 90s. It was this very grassroots, and people were connected. Like, when you talk about Rubber Room, Splaney's and All Natural and, like, all those groups, like, that's kind of how it was for them, and that's what this reminded me, you know, here in Kansas City. But now, like, fast forward 18 years later, one, because I think technology has helped people make better music, but I think Kansas City has an incredible amount of talent, but again, since we're in a smaller market with no music industry other than what Tech N9ne is doing, those voices don't really get heard. But again, if you check out the album Between a Rock and a Hard Place, almost more than half actually are Kansas City MCs. So, you know, and that's only just a small piece of, like, what's here. Again, I'm excited about it. Like, I'm excited for Kansas City. You know, I'm excited for hip hop because it's finally, like, being a little more palatable for people. So we can do a hip hop show. There's a couple cats out here that are MCs and musicians, like Kadesh Flow. He's got one of the songs on an album. He's just rapping on an album, but he does a full jazz band live stage show, and he also plays the trombone, which is really ill because, like, he'll go from rapping to then playing a trombone and then back to rapping.
Man,
like,
how does he not run out of breath doing that? Yeah,
man, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's killing it. And so there's a lot of that. There's an incredible, I don't know if he would consider himself a hip hop artist, but he's a jazz pianist, a younger cat named Eddie Moore, who has a lot of hip hop influence. So a lot of his stuff is that way. I mean, we did a show at One Kansas City Radio with him, and it was just like listening to Jay Dilla play, like, basically improv beats.
That's crazy.
For a small audience, you know. And again, he says, like, yeah, hip hop has influenced me, and this is kind of like a new kind of version of jazz, and, you know, like a Robert Glasper type vibe.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, I mean, tons of dope artists, be that hip-hop artists or just, you know, artists in general, you know, musicians, basically, is here. And like I said, I'm happy to do my little part to showcase them and help them out. Because, again, theme of the interview, I'm doing it for the love.
Yeah.
I'm doing it for community. We should be helping each other.
Right.
We should not be hating on one another.
Nah.
And, like, the money will come later. And if the money never comes, so
be
what?
It. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have a job. I'm all good. I'm blessed for sure.
Now, there's a lot you said there too, because, I mean, for one, I'm really, like, excited to hear that an artist from a different genre is influenced by hip hop. It used to always be the other way around. You hear, like, somebody like, I heard a jazz record and I sampled it, and I like that idea that hip hop is influencing people who do other music. That's incredible to me. Like, that to me, I can't just overlook that. That's huge. And of course, like you said, going to Kansas City, you know, the foundation wasn't really quite there yet, but you're helping to build that scene. So that's going to be exciting. You're there, like, almost at the ground level of the real hip-hop movement there in Kansas City, and bringing what you know from Chicago and everything.
Yeah, and I definitely do not take credit at all.
Yeah, right.
Scene. I'm just part of it.
Right.
Because there are some people, like, you know, Jock Max is from here. I mean, if anybody was the one who built the Kansas City hip hop scene, is DJ Jock Max, you know, down with Spinna and Basement Chemists and all that. So if credit is to be due, it's to Jock Max and his effort and those guys. But I'm just part of the scene that wants to help, you know, continue to elevate it. You know what I mean?
Right, no doubt about it. Let's talk about this album, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. First of all, talk about the concept of the album. You kind of did a little bit, a lot of Kansas City artists, but you also have some Chicago stuff on here too. Talk about, like, the idea when you first came up with the concept of putting this album together.
My history is probably, like, when it comes to music, I always have a lot of stuff that either I've done or half done or kind of archived. And I didn't really think about this till last night. Real One hit me on a text. He's like, dude, how long has it been since you had like your own album? And I went back and looked, and it was 12 years.
Man.
And I was just like, wow, 12 years. That like time goes by fast.
Jeez.
And
we had kids. That might be part of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. But the concept of the album was like mainly just to kind of like come back to the table again. Obviously, Catch 22, you know, it's really the definition between a rock and a hard place. You know, no matter which way you choose, it's going to be tough. And but what comes out of it is really, again, some dope music that takes its own form based on the productions I'm doing with the artists. Or I remix a lot of things because, like, you know, I feel like I want to put a different vibe on it. So you'll see a lot of songs on this album that are actually remixes. There's actually a few original songs, but a lot of them actually are remixes. And really, I wanted to showcase, you know, I'm in between Chicago and Kansas City, right? So let's showcase where I'm in between those two at, you know, and let's put something out that, you know, I tried real hard not to make it sound like a 90s hip-hop record, but that's really hard for us because we're so heavily influenced by that sound.
Right.
So there's, like, I try to go outside my own box a little bit on some of the beats and just make it a fun, creative thing. And like I said, have something to bring to the table and keep that content, pushing that content forward for, you know, myself as a producer slash artist, as well as, you know, a good release for the record label, you know. So that's really conceptually what the album's about. I am really excited. I am working on a Soul Servers album, which is the cats here in Kansas City. All three of them are actually featured on this album now as individual artists, which would be Smooth Confusion, Lewis Rip and Deuce Fontaine. They're actually a group. They were a group here when I first got here.
Oh, wow.
And I kind of did what you did when you saw me in real. I went to a show and I was like, who are these guys? I need to talk to these
guys.
Right. The show was so dope. I was like, I was like, let me go holler at these guys.
Right.
And then ultimately, one of the guys was a security guard at one of the clubs I was DJing here in Kansas City. So actually, that's how it started. He's like, I rap. And, you know, I was like, oh, cool. I make beats and I DJ, blah, blah, blah. And then I went to go see one of their shows. And then I was like, okay, yeah, I need to holler at these guys. So they're super dope. Again, part of that older Kansas City scene. But yeah, we're working on an album right now featuring mainly a lot of Brother West beats.
Oh, wow.
A couple of mine, maybe one of Reels. So, like, this is really not even about me. I'm doing the recording and the editing of it, but, you know, this is about other people. And it's interesting, like, not being tied to my beats, because,
right,
like, I think I'm a little more critical of it. I give myself a pass on some things, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, you have to, right?
Like, I mean, like it, so it's good.
Doesn't mean what everybody else is going to have the same opinion. I got you, right.
Right. So this is good to take a step out of the producer role and be more of like the executive producer. And
yeah.
Be like, okay, like y'all need to record that verse again, or that doesn't really fit, or I'm gonna put some more things around this to make it sound like an actual song instead of just three verses. You know, stuff like that.
Right.
I mean, but again, it's all creative stuff for me, and I love it. So it's a new place, I think, for me, but I do enjoy that as well, as much as I do actually making the beat too. So
these artists you're talking about, they're on this album. Like, I'm looking at the track list here. Drop It Low features, you know, some artists I'm not familiar with, but you know, this album's introduced me to a lot of artists that I've never heard before. So talk about working with Royce Diamond and Lewis Rip and Kadeesh Flow you're talking about earlier, you know.
Yeah. And that one is actually a remix too. So they sent me vocals and a cappella, and I really enjoy how that track came out. It sounds totally different than the original version.
Oh, okay.
Which, like, I think that's on purpose for me.
Right.
Like, how different. Like, I just remember those Pete Rock remixes.
They're always a different song.
And it was definitely, like, a different kind of feel and a different vibe, but it was dope. So, like, I think that is, like, really what drives my, like, my remix thing. But then we also featured Zach Morrow, who is a drummer. Right. So at the end of that track, I actually asked him to just play, just like freestyle, play some live drums over the last bit of the song.
Wow.
So it's a remix of my beat of an original song by two MCs. And then we kind of tacked on that live drum session version at the end. So it really is a whole different song,
right?
Produced collectively, you know, I guess by myself and the other three artists. So, like I said, that's the kind of stuff I like to do. I want to continue to do, make it a little more, make things a little more musical. Yeah. You know, a few more surprises, you know, to that style, I guess.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of different sounds on here that you're talking about, how some stuff sounds like the 90s, and there is some of that, but there's a lot of stuff here that I never would have, you know, like you talk about the drums and, you know, live instrumentation. Rock to the Rhythm was one that caught me for sure, because of course you're talking about things. Because you pick up the mic on this album a couple times.
Right,
you're not
right.
just doing the producer work and behind the scenes.
Right.
And that one really struck me because right. you're talking about a lot of things that I remember. And, of course, you and Real One doing the Catch uh-huh. Wreck show, the four turntables. So a lot of stuff in there. Uh-huh. Talking about that old school, what, early 2000s, late 90s scene. Talk about that record. You picked
yeah.
up the mic. Like
yeah,
I said,
definitely.
You picked up the mic a few times on this album. It wasn't just behind the scenes for you.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, that's kind of how I started. I was actually kind of rapping and, you know, I remember big up to the Autobots crew, by the way. That's like real old.
Oh, man.
We used to go to Jeff Park Station. We used to meet up at Jeff Park Station and just have a cipher like all the time. And I remember those ciphers with the AB Autobots crew. Big up to Spell, by the way. And yeah, that's kind of like, well, I thought I was going to be a rapper.
Well, you still are, though. I mean, you made it, you know.
But,
yeah, you're like, right, humble. Yeah. You're humble.
No, these dudes out here, they could really rap.
Right, right. Well, yeah. Well, you referenced Pete Rock. It's kind of like that. The producer steps up to the mic and, you know, drops a quick one real quick.
Right.
And, you know. Then gives it back to CL,
right.
like, okay,
right.
go ahead and finish. Cause...
That's a cool, right, right. I mean, that's a cool thing about hip-hop, right? I mean, it's all creative. It's all art. You know, you don't have to be, you don't have to peg yourself in one place. I mean,
right.
that's why I think I love it so much. You know, you can be all those things, and that's a celebration of it as a culture.
Oh, without a doubt. Another track that really caught my attention was Time to Go. Talk about that track on here.
Again, another remix, like, behind the scenes. And I remember I played that for Smooth Confusion. He was like, man, I could have used that at a show.
Oh, see, there you go.
He's like, I could have used that one to use that beat for that song at a show, for one of the shows he's performing. And that one was actually like definitely like one of my first ones where I like stepped out of my own box, because there is not a sample on that record.
Yeah.
All of that I played out on the keys. You know, like that's
wow.
the track I found. You know, I got sounds, I used machine and a keyboard, and I actually like played that like music, and not just sampled and looped something. So that was definitely like my first real venture where I was satisfied by it. Like, I'm like, hey, this actually sounds like you could hear this on on commercial radio.
There you go.
Not that was my goal, but
right,
like
right.
when I heard the sound, I was like, that sounds like a legit, possibly commercial sounding song, which is like, you, I, and our crew know, like, that was never, like, you never want to sound, make a song that sounds like it could be played on the radio.
No, man.
Like, that's, like, whack, you know?
Hell yeah. Without a doubt.
But definitely Smooth Confusion on the lyrics, and then Deuce Fontaine actually did the hook, which the inside story to that is a Soul Servers. Smooth always does every hook to every song. And Deuce is like, yeah, that's the first time you let me do a hook on one of your songs. So just interesting little banter about that. And but yeah, I mean, like I said, we're trying to stay relevant,
right?
But stay true to our roots and continue to put quality music out there.
Man, and speaking of quality music, can't overlook Last Man Standing, another track off the album.
Man, that like I said, Lewis Rip, he's a beast.
Yeah.
If you see him and Royce performing live, I mean, you were talking about spitting. I mean, these dudes are MCs, like, for sure. I mean, Lewis Rip and Royce are MCs. Like, they rap well.
There you go.
You know, like, from a written and from a freestyle. Like, I caught a little exclusive footage behind one of the shows we did with them. You know, they just start beatboxing and rapping, like, you know, like back in the day. So,
man.
But we're all like around the same age. So,
right.
It shouldn't surprise me too much. But again, sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, that's like the raw elements right there. Like, that's refreshing. That's refreshing to see that. So, big up Lewis Rip on that. You know, definitely a dope song, dope conceptually, you know, not just rapping, battle rapping, like, you know, actually some messages and stuff to that too. But yeah, definitely had a lot of fun doing some of this music with these guys.
And for someone like myself, it's just really cool to be introduced to new artists, you know, because I mean, I'm not familiar with a lot of them. So to see that, you know, it's just like, okay, now I feel like I have a little more of an understanding of what the Kansas City sound it might be like. Yeah, or maybe just like a peek, just like a peek inside. Definitely. And of course, you know, Chicago, you know, we got Drake Hobbs, you got a remix of Top of the World on there. And I see DJ Real Ones on here. So you definitely have that Chicago influence.
He actually did that beat. So that track by DJ Real One is actually his beat. It's just
one of the
things we do at the record label. We always try to, we actually try to put some of each other's stuff on one another's projects. Because again, it's all about art. It's all about our community, right? We want to feature each other. I mean, you want to, you know, you take that back to like Wu-Tang Clan, right?
I say that. That's, you know, a good
those
example.
Those were all just individual dudes, right?
Right.
But RZA was like smart enough to be like, okay, if I could just make everybody shine together, and then we'll make everybody shine individually, but we're always going to feature one another on each other's albums, then you just keep, it's like a machine. You just keep that machine going, you know? And then it's
perfect.
Competitive, right? You know, so you're going to get, you know, like the Razor Sharp. You always just say, what's up, Razor Sharp, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you're always going to get the top, right? You're not going to get somebody slacking and I have to write this verse and whatever, you know? But they were all competing, and right. I think that's why we loved it so much.
There you go, man. And you talk about that, like, you know, that 90, you talk about Wu-Tang. There's a remix, a bonus remix of PLO Style on here. So those heads that go on Bandcamp, right?
Oh, yeah. See, I even forgot about that.
See, I'm looking at it.
Yeah, so exclusively only on Bandcamp. I feel you. I feel you. Thank you. Thank you for covering me.
Oh, of course, man.
Yeah, so three remixes on the Bandcamp version only. PLO Style, Black Eyed Peas song. And, I mean, we all love remixing Nas because he's such a dope MC.
Right.
You could almost put any beat behind one of his songs and be like, yeah, it's dope. Life's a B by Nas, PLO Style by, I guess, Method Man, technically, because it was on a Method Man album.
Right.
And then Joints and Jam by Black Eyed Peas, which, you know, there's actually three separate beats on that one song. So really kind of like...
Oh, that's cool, man.
Trying to give I'm trying to give you everything. I'm trying to give you it all, you know?
Man.
Give you a bonus with inside the bonus.
I think I tell Real all the time when he makes a beat, 99% of the time, like, man, Ghostface would rip this beat, dude. That's a Ghostface beat right there, almost every time. And then Nas is like the second one, but...
Right. Yeah. No doubt.
Man.
Because they just come on and spit, you know, like.
Right.
Like, there's no, like, they just come on and kill it. Like, you know, sometimes you'll try to, like, remix a song and you could tell that the original beat was actually making up a lot for what they were lacking.
Right. Because
then when you try to put those same acapellas over a different beat, it, like, it just doesn't cut. Like,
no.
The right way, you know?
There's few artists that could do that, and you've probably, you know, you've done so many remixes, you definitely know that better than most, man, without a doubt.
Yeah, I guess my favorites are... No, go ahead. No, we talked about that enough, so that's cool.
No. Your favorites, I want to hear it. You can't tease me with that one. I need to hear the end of that.
All right, so favorites are definitely Wu-Tang Clan, but there's not a whole lot of acapellas out there. Like, Wu-Tang, they knew what's up. Nas, there's a ton of Nas ones.
Yeah, he does leave you with one almost every
album.
And
like Common.
Common's another one, without a doubt.
And Common, you know, I think all three of those, like, you could put them on any beat, and most of them will be good.
And I got to ask you about 1KC Radio, too. I mean, you're the founder and the president of it. Talk about just the station and being, what's the format? You know, how was it how did you first get it?
Sure.
Like, how did that whole thing work out? Because I'm fascinated by the idea that, you know, Ketches in Kansas City's got a radio, like, what are you talking about? Like, when I first heard about it. Like, he's got a radio station. Like, how? What do you mean?
So the FCC opened up what's called low power FM licenses.
Right.
You could only be granted one if you're a nonprofit organization. So they did that back in 2000, and they've only opened up that opportunity twice in like over 20 years. So when I first came to Kansas City, it was to be in radio, you know, as fellow former classmates, you know, we both went to Columbia College to be radio broadcast majors. You actually took it way further in your career than I ever did.
Yeah, if you call it a career. I made money doing it, but it wasn't like satisfying like that. But yeah.
Hey, It's a profession, right? You got paid to
do
it.
That's true.
That makes you a professional.
Salute.
So big up to you on that, because I never got paid to do radios.
Oh, wow.
So there you go.
Yeah, I know a lot of you guys, man, Columbia. There's so many of us.
But yeah, so I was supposed to actually be on the commercial hip-hop station down here. That didn't really work out. I went to go look for other opportunities to still do music, do my, you know, my little nerdy hip hop show, and nobody was really trying to fill me. So I thought, well, if there was ever a time where I could have a station that would cater toward the black and brown communities in Kansas City, I would be all about it. Well, then the FCC opened up that window, I guess it's like 6 years ago now, and I was like, let's try it. So Man. We formed a nonprofit organization, which is incredibly hard. It's incredibly hard. I don't advise people doing it unless they were really ready to devote a lot of their life to something. So we did that, build the board, start fundraising, which is incredibly hard to ask people for money when you don't really have anything to show them yet, other than like, hey, I got this FCC license. We're trying to build a radio station.
Give me some money.
So there's a lot of rejection right. when it came to that.
Right.
But we just pushed on. My wife, like 150%, supported me and did a lot of work and helped me because she has a nonprofit background. And just without her, it definitely doesn't happen. There's a couple key people. Without them, it doesn't happen. My parents did a big donation at the very end. Doesn't happen without them. So really learned how hard it is to do things as a nonprofit, as a community service, as, you know, serving the public. So shout out to anybody trying to do any of that work, because it's incredibly hard. So yeah, so we started a station. Really, I wanted to present the black and brown community in Kansas City in a positive way, to give the underrepresented communities a voice and a platform. And we went with that. That's really what the station's about, to be diverse, multicultural, multilingual, and have it be an open platform. Because as you know, most media and radio specifically, nobody wants to let you in.
Yeah, that's true. That's exactly
nobody true. Wants to let you. Nobody's trying to like let you have a show. Even like on the nonprofit stations, like on a college station, it's like a fight to have 30 minutes. You know? So I felt like this could be something for the community that was accessible, that was for them, that was by them, that, you know, I could leave, you know, not necessarily as part of my legacy, but as a institution for Kansas City that didn't previously exist. So that's what the station's about.
Right.
I have a lot of influence on what plays there. I'm trying to have a less influence on what plays there, because it's not the Catch 22 show. It's
right.
It's One Kansas City Radio. So we're starting to kind of come out of that and get some people in, and big up to the volunteers. I mean, again, without them, there's nothing. There's people been doing shows from the very beginning. They don't get paid to do it, you know, and they put it. It's a lot of work. Lots of people want to be on the radio until they find out how much work it is. As you know.
No, that's definitely. I mean, doing this podcast thing, I noticed there's a lot of people out there who should not be doing one because they think it's just as easy as turning on a microphone and talking. But you know, that's a whole other show. But that's got to be gratifying, man. The work you put into it to get it off the ground, to get it going, and here you are 5-6 years later, like you said. How's the reception been in Kansas City? Obviously, must have been great because you guys are doing big things for the community. And
yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the Brother L thing. I think it was ahead of its time, so people were still kind of like weren't sure. But the people that do engage with it, they're like, they love it because it's a void. You know, it's a void in Kansas City. So it's like everybody's, that's a great idea. And I'm like, how about you give me some money? And they're like, I'm short on cash right now.
Yeah.
So there's that. But, you know, the reception has been well, just like anything else. It's like pushing forward, keeping to build, you know, the involvement in it. And kind of keeping your finger on the pulse to make it, you know, have it be something that is relevant, you know, and not just like a cool idea I had, you know, because that's what it was for a while. It was like my cool idea. But now we got to actually make it relevant as an institution, as a radio station, as a media outlet.
I have to guess one of your songs is being played on the station, right?
Infinite Banter.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Definitely talk about
maybe.
That.
So, you know, anybody that is listening to this not on your main podcast, you can also link to it from our website.
Exactly.
Because, you know, we support what you're doing.
Thank you for doing that, man. I appreciate
it. I love what you're doing. I wish we had like 10 more people like you here in Kansas City, and then my life would be a lot easier with the radio station.
Wow.
Because planning the shows, doing the social media, booking the guests, that's all time consuming, and people
really
don't understand how much work goes into doing that.
I mean, I try really hard to do this.
You have a high quality podcast.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I mean, me and a real one talk about this all the time with him promoting the music, and you can relate with that too. And me promoting this thing, it's putting the product together is just part one, but like getting people to care and listen or whatever, that's the real work. And salute to you guys for putting our show on there, but. Putting my show to where people can link up to you guys. I keep saying that all the time.
Community though,
it's our. Let me rephrase that. Everybody listening, you guys are part of this thing. Salute to all of you, definitely. how can people listening like myself who don't live in Kansas City, how do we get in tune and listen to check out the radio station?
I'm glad you asked. There's multiple ways. You could download the app, which is super expensive. So, again, if you're listening to this, donate to the radio station. Download our app on app stores. You can go to 1KC, so O-N-E-K-C, the letters KC, radio.org, and you can listen to the online stream there. And then you can get it, like, on TuneIn and stuff. I think we have, like, a smart speaker thing. If you say, play 1 Kansas City Radio on TuneIn, it'll come on your smart speaker. So, again, we're trying to reach just more than Kansas City, because we know our broadcast range is only 100 watts in Kansas City, which, as you know, is not very far. So we're really trying to push people online. We've got an online concert series we do every month. New Black City, another dope hip-hop R&B group in February, you know, live saxophone singer. I mean, like, incredible talent. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
right.
Kansas City's got some incredible talent. So you can, you know, check for them February 20th. We're going to live stream that concert. And we do a monthly live stream with different artists and different acts for the radio station as part of a Crown Crafted series that we call it. So yeah, check all that stuff out, social media, all that stuff. Real One is the Instagram king. I'm falling behind on that. I'm old. I can't navigate the Instagram real good. And I don't have a personal page for Catch-22, but definitely go to Head Knock Records. Our social media, Head Knock Records, just look that up. We do have a website, or we're going to upgrade the website. So it'll be headknockrecords.com here shortly in the next month or two. Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal. You could get the album, not this only this album, but all of our other albums.
Yeah, Lo-Fly, Styles United, you guys so much.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, I'm real proud of that. Real and I are proud of I think we counted like more than 10 albums.
Man.
On Head Knock Records. So, you know, that's a big deal for us as producers and hip hop heads and you know, people who are creators, you know.
Yeah, he was saying that you had something in Japan. Is that true? There's an album that you made?
Yeah, so real quick story. Always real quick stories, right?
Those are the best ones because they end up being like 5 minutes
long. The first album, right. Right. The first album, Classic Material, the first album that I put out as Head Knock Records, that was still CD and vinyl days. So, like I said, last solo album was 12 plus years ago. There's a company called Crosstalk based in Chicago, and DJ PNS, big up PNS Moment, I send it to them for distribution because I physically made the CDs, you know, or had them manufactured. I didn't make them, but had them made. and I said, hey, you know, just trying to get these distributed. They were definitely like a niche music distributor, did a lot of underground hip hop stuff, did like other things too, like I think rock and maybe some house music and stuff like that. But, you know, like the first time anybody said yes to actually like distributing something I did, which I was excited about. So I sent it to him. And then this is a long time ago, so I'm a little bit foggy. But basically he reached out to me and was like, hey, one of the businesses that we distribute to in Japan is interested in doing a 12-inch single on one of the songs. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, man. I'm like, that's so dope. Like, that's like the goal, right? Like,
yeah, you know, man.
As like a, you know, poor little hip-hop kid in Chicago, like, that's like, if you get there, like, that you don't need anymore.
But
that's
in it. Tokyo, somebody thinks you're like up and, here, though. So, yeah, it's all good.
Exactly. So I tell him, I was like, oh, so which song do they want? And he's like, your song. I'm like, yeah, I know. They're all my songs. Like, I produced them all. He's like, no, the song that you're rapping on.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh. I was like, I am a rapper.
Hey, you've made it. That's awesome. Oh, wow.
So we did that. It's called Get On Something. The name of the song, Get On Something.
Yeah.
And then he said, I said, you know, can I put a B-side on it? And he's like, yeah, you could pick whatever song. So big up More or Less, too. So I'll pick the More or Less song. It's called Pass Bys. Did the label design and sent it to him. And like a couple months later, they sent me the test pressing and a few copies. And there it is. I got a 12-inch out of Japan.
I was going to say, do you have it in arm's reach? I'll say you should go ahead and grab it if you have it next to you. But.
No, you know what? No, so my wife is homeschooling our youngest son upstairs where my stuff is, so I actually came in another room.
Got you.
But we'll definitely we'll post it up
when
you do your social media for
you. You
gotta
post that,
man. We'll definitely post it up there. It's like just wild stuff.
Yeah. Did you ever get any feedback from anybody from Japan? Like, did you ever hear about heads listening to or liking it? Any kind of feedback, reception?
I think, see, that was like before the internet really
wild
on the digital music side of things. So I mean, I think I saw a few comments or whatever.
There you go.
But, you know.
Anybody go out to Tokyo, check out your local record store, dig in there, do some crate digging. You might come across Catch 22 from Classic Material out in Japan.
Word.
Man, salute for doing this, man. Word. It's been long overdue. I mean, ever since I started doing this, I was saying to Real, I got to get Catch on there, man, one of these days. And, of course, you got this new album, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. Once again, let the heads know where they could find it, how they can listen to it. And it comes out January 22nd, Catch 22, perfect date.
Word. Yeah, no doubt. Again, MJ, thanks for having me on.
No doubt, man.
I really appreciate it. Again, I appreciate what you're doing with the podcast. I understand how difficult it is. So follow Infinite Banter Podcast.
Oh, salute.
Listen to every episode. It's dope. Appreciate all that stuff. Between a Rock and a Hard Place, all streaming platforms. Like you mentioned, it's also on Bandcamp with 3 exclusive remixes that will not be on the streaming services. And Bandcamp is the best way
to
support independent artists because we get more money. We get more money when
you're like Solosi Nettleson. You get to get more money. I don't know the Chicago commercials. I don't know if those go nationwide. Solosi Nettleson, the car guys, where you always save more money.
No, they don't. But I do. I do remember that. But yeah, so go check out every streaming service, Bandcamp, and just stay on the lookout because I know Real One's got one he's cooking up too right now. I'm cooking up the Soul Servers album, and just like super exclusive, the Brazen Catch 22 album from way back in the day may make an appearance on the streaming services too.
Braids, that's
that
my...
might come back out, re-release
man.
It from like
there was a remix to Greenlight
ago,
a few years ago from
from the
Ground Up album. Braids was that dude, man. I remember being hyped for the shows you guys would do together. Salute to Braids.
Yes.
Gotta be on the lookout for that.
That's it. That's the update from Catch.
Yeah, there it is. You got it all. You got everything you need to know about Catch and then some. So, man, again, salute for coming on here, man. And definitely support the album. And we'll play a couple tracks within the podcast here. So, yeah, long time coming, Catch. Thank you for coming on here, dude.
No doubt. Big up. Peace.
Man, that was fun talking to Catch. So many stories in there. Like I said, I've known this dude a long time. Me, him, DJ Real One. Shout out to DJ Score, Shabazz. You know, these are dudes I used to hang with a little bit back in my college days. Like we talked about, I saw these dudes at, you know, different clubs or venues or concerts, and I just wanted to be a hanger on. You know what I mean? Next thing I know, I'm hanging with these dudes. So definitely respect and salute to Catch 22. This new album, you got to cop it. Check it out on Bandcamp. You get 3 extra bonus remixes from Classic classic joints you've heard before, remixed by Catch 22. So instead of talking about it, let's go ahead and play another song off that album. And speaking of going back in time, this one right here really takes me back. Catch 22 picks up the mic on this one. This one's Rock to the Rhythm off of his new album Between a Rock and a Hard Place here on the Infinite Banter podcast.
Come on. Rock, kicking that rhythm with the jazzy fat track, reminiscent of that old boom back. I guess you can call me the modern throwback. GP on the soul, 22 on the track. It's time to change this cold season and give the kids a new reason to take the floor, explore them hip hop moves, to take the music back to them old soul grooves. Feel good, that's just how we do. Classes in session with that new true school. Kick them rhymes while we sit back and move. Necks back and forth with a couple old tunes. It's the voice that gets you up. R.I.P. the guru and I'm 92 cuts. Now it's time to turn back to the basics. My first set of kicks with them laces. 94, started running with the crew. Now 2014, peace to Zulu. Enjoy what we rock between these bars. Rock to the rhythm and the rhythm rock hard. Rock to the rhythm, rock to the rhythm, rock to the rhythm and the rhythm rock hard. Rock to the rhythm, rock to the rhythm, rock to the rhythm and the rhythm rock hard. Coming in for that second yo verse. Don't step to the freestyle with something rehearsed. Get kicked to the back with that women we verse. Twist up to the head, spin so sick and we hurt. Chi-town streets, we straight cold bomb. Peace to Zakari, it's been so long since we sprayed the place with the trace of our grace. Give anything to go back to the old school place. DJ Real One on four turntables killing. WCRX was the place of our feeling. Crazy kids running the rails like we villains. Northside cats with the art kids chilling. Bugs all city with the Necro crew. Even showed up at the house party to show how we do. Can't stop hip hop. Was dope before we dropped. The flavor from the soul. Now we stop popping lock. But take a trip to the old bus stop. And rock to the rhythm and the rhythm cold rock. Rock to the rhythm, rock to the rhythm. And rock to the rhythm and the rhythm cold rock. Rock to the rhythm, rock to the rhythm, rock to the rhythm and the rhythm rock hard. Rock to the rhythm, rock to the rhythm, rock to the rhythm and the rhythm rock hard. Rock to 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 the rhythm and the rhythm rock hard.
Track town, worldwide, Catch 22,
straight up out of Chi-town.
Listening to Drake Cobbs, man, DJ Soundwave, Infinite Banter, official.
Once you're done listening to Infinite Banter podcast, make sure you go check out my friends over at the Dumb Found Dead podcast.
Do you enjoy dark comedy, puns, and laughter? If so, come join two good brothers, John and Patrick, as we discuss some of the craziest ways people die. That's so bizarre, strange, and borderline comical, that'll leave you dumbfounded. You can follow this podcast on all major platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many more. And make sure to follow us on social media on Instagram at The Dumbfounded Pod and on Twitter at TDFDPod. And remember, think ahead, don't be dumb, found dead.
This is Mr. Greenwee's Marcel Wilkes. Super shout to my boy Marv, you know what I'm saying? Infinite Banter. Man, I'm over the moon with this one. I would say to all my artist homies, they should, like, come holler at this cat. Let's have some fun, man, and you listening live. You know what I'm saying? Infinite Banter. My man Mark hold me down, and I appreciate you, bro.
Time for you to leave, assholes.
All right, Kirk. That's Kirk Acevedo telling me it is time for me to get out of here, and that is exactly what I'm going to do. But as always, before I leave, you know, Kirk should know better. I have a few more things to say before I get out of here. Once again, big up to Catch 22. Go check out that album. I can't say it enough. Go to Bandcamp. Go follow him on Instagram and Facebook, Headknock Records. Between a Rock and a Hard Place. You heard two songs. You hear one more before we get out of here. Definitely check it out. But definitely have to pay homage to Hank Aaron. He passed away 86 years old. You know, the man was more than just a baseball player. I can't even imagine the weight that was on his shoulders as he was going up against that Babe Ruth home run record. And I watched it, you know, like everybody else did when you heard the news. You watched the YouTube video of him hitting that home run to break that record. And it's just amazing. You know, Vin Scully did the announcing, which I didn't know or I didn't remember. So just another moment in time right there, to quote Caddish Flow from that song earlier. Just be in that moment. I would love to have gone back in time and been there live to see that happen, what he had to go through persevering, getting past that. And he was just more than, like I said, more than a baseball player, more than a great baseball player. This dude helped lead the civil rights movement, helped lead things to progress in this country. And you just got to salute number 44, Hammerin' Hank Aaron. It just really hits hard when, you know, somebody like that passes. Just really tough, man. So rest in peace to Hank Aaron. And I did see Larry King pass. Rest in peace to him, another icon, another legend in this business. You know, those of us who grew up wanting to work in radio and do broadcasting, if you just do a podcast, all of it's connected. And Larry King is one of the all-time greats. So salute to him as well. I don't think I'll be rocking any suspenders anytime soon, but that dude made him look cool without a doubt. So yeah, rest in peace, Hank Aaron. Rest in peace, Larry King. All right, that's it for the show. I know I haven't talked a lot of nerd stuff as much, but for those of you who've been wanting it, I got something for you on the next episode. I got someone to come on to talk about The Mandalorian. We're going to talk about WandaVision wrestling. So, you know, all my hip-hop heads, I hope you stick with me on this next one. And all my nerds, you know, you've been waiting for it, it's coming. I got you, man. I got you. Don't worry about it. So definitely check out the next episode. I just wanted to push that a little bit. That'll be coming out pretty soon. I always want to talk about nerd stuff, but, you know, it's not always on the agenda. But definitely too much going on for me just to ignore it. You know what I mean? So that's it for the show. Appreciate everybody for listening. Check me out on all digital platforms, the Infinite Banter Podcast. Anywhere you listen to it, stream it, you find it there. Follow the show on all social media platforms, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Infinite Banter. Go to Apple Podcast, rate and review the show. Tell me I suck. Tell me I'm great. Tell me whatever. Just do that. Appreciate that as well. And once again, salute to Catch 22. Go cop that album, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. Kansas City artist, Chicago artist, a remix of classic songs you've heard before. It just got so much on there. Try to cover as much as we could in this podcast, but definitely hope we got you guys excited for it. So you can go check it out. Bandcamp's a really good place to look for it. You get those bonus remixes of three songs. Black Eyed Peas. Back in the day, Black Eyed Peas, when that first album came out, I loved Joints and Jams. That was a classic banger. There's a Catch 22 remix of that. PLO Style, Method Man, and Life's a Bitch, speaking of Illmatic. Go check out that album, Between a Rock and a Hard Place, from Catch 22, featuring artists like Dre Cobbs, who've been on this show before. Definitely check it out. So before we go, we're going to play one more song from that album. This here is Lewis Rip. We talked about him in the interview. Last Man Standing kind of fits. It's a last song, Last Man Standing, from the album Catch 22, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. Thank you for checking out the show. Always appreciate it. Stay tuned for some nerd stuff in the next one. And until I do that one, I'm out.
Hey, asshole, get off the road. Said and done, it's all said and done. You know I'll be the last man standing. Check it. I be the last action hero for my black people. But to the masses, I'm a rapping Negro. Rocking KC fitters with nappy regrowth. Slicking many manners, I spit with sophisticated grammar. As I walk on the edge of the wickedest planet, infinite understanding through wisdom and careful planning. Give me the upper hand so there's nothing too rough to handle. Run through the toughest scandal, truck through a bunch of vandals. Serenade them with homicidal verbatim, busting ammo. I terminate your mental state and levitate my physical to altitude your body's not equipped to take. And call it Strange when I boomerang back, or Scientology. Like copy machines, I give facts. Civil rights stripped, economical crisis, ongoing wars, global warming. I'm still the nicest. Besides, I only rap the proof that you can't. My paper stacking up, trying to CC 160 like Savannah. You got timid with your bars, I got lyrical enhancement. You got women and cars, I got wisdom understanding. That shit's all a facade, in a second it'll vanish, and I'ma be the last man standing. Yo, you shining like a star, but I'm rising like a planet. You hiding who you are, I'm alive and apparent. And when it falls apart and you ready to abandon, I'ma be the last man standing. Yo, I'm back within my element. Yo, scratch that. In fact, black, I'm better than I've ever been. My regimen's like Letterman, the late night. Create rhymes to shed light like Edison. This sick, inflicted veteran takes no credible medicine. I'm telling men, despite a slow pace, I never fail to win. Never blow the job, and somehow I get ahead again. I set it straight when I delegate with administrative intelligence. I'm still a better man, despite who the best man at your wedding is. Graphic images mathematically added through penmanship. I didn't have to stick them in, it's just added incentive. That's what you get from this rapping passion. This flow's half as bad as that cat from Michigan called Eminem. Are you hearing him? I'm killing them. Death from taxes, homonyms, and synonyms. Like ex-inmates, I got these ingrates looking for pins again. I've been great. Was screaming in your face, you wasn't listening. How can I be insignificant when I'm making the difference?
You got the women in your bars, I got lyrical enhancement. You got women in cars, I got wisdom understanding. It's all a facade, in a second it'll vanish, and I'ma be the last man standing. Yo, you shining like a star, but I'm rising like a planet. You hiding who you are, I'm alive and apparent. And when it falls apart and you ready to abandon, I'ma be the last man standing.
That's right, last man standing. Lewis Rip, man. Been doing it for shit ever. And I'ma keep doing this shit. And I gotta do what I gotta do. We doing this all day and day. It's like Soul Service, D-List, AOL, it's going down.
We be the last man standing. We be the last man standing. Bruce Fontaine be the last man standing. Smoke and Fusion be the last man standing. Lewis Rip be the last man standing. Soul Service be the last man standing. Blues Brothers be the last man standing. Be the last man standing.
That's what it is.
Being on the Infinite Banner with my man Mark has been a pleasure.